Welcome to Uncomplicating Weight Loss and Life. I'm your host, Eva Rodriguez, former HR executive turned holistic life, health, and weight loss coach. In this podcast, I'll teach you how to lose weight without dieting, how to exercise to burn fat and reshape your body, and how to lose the mental and emotional weight that keeps you stuck. My life has given me lots of twists, turns, and traumas, but instead of defeating me, it's made me strong as fuck. I've been able to turn my hot mess into a fiery message that if I can transform my health and my life, so can you. And it doesn't have to be complicated. I'm the type of person that is obsessed with personal development and learning new concepts and tools. I think it's the reason why I always want to dive super deep into the topics that I'm learning about, and then I end up getting certified in all these different modalities because I love to understand how and why things work. My friends call me a certification whore because I'm always working on a new certification. I actually just finished getting certified in somatic healing, neuro-linguistic programming, hypnotherapy, and bar. And I think it's just because I can't stop learning because I never want to stop growing, you know? So I was thinking about you, my listeners, and thought that it was a part of maybe a continuation of last week's episode about being on the Hot Mess Express. I thought it would be useful if I brought you along and shared some of the most transformational tools that I've learned over the past few years that I've not only used to continue to evolve into the best version of myself and to continue to evolve as an excellent coach, but they're also tools and concepts that I use when I'm coaching my clients and helping them step into their best version. So for this series, I want to start with a concept that I learned about last year while I was reading a book on friendships called Platonic: How the Science of Attachment Can Help You Make and Keep Friends. And it is by Marissa Franco. I highly recommend this book. It's so good. I read it twice. I'll link it in my show notes. Ironically, I picked up this book and was going to do a book and wine club type of situation with someone that I'd been friends with off and on since elementary school. And after reading the book, I realized I didn't want to be her friend anymore. And this time, I was done with that friendship. But more importantly, I learned about attachment styles for the first time, and that changed so much for me. At first, I was really annoyed because I'd never heard of this before. In all my years of working with different therapists, I don't know why the hell this wasn't one of the first things that they educated me on, because our attachment styles determine how we approach everything in life, especially our relationships of any kind. I've mentioned this to a few of my clients, and they also hadn't heard of the attachment style theory. And that's when I realized I'm not the only person. And also, everyone needs to know about this. It will help you make sense of a lot of your thought patterns and mindset. And it will even help you understand your relationship with food and how certain attachment styles are linked to disordered eating. Plus, understanding how your attachment style shapes and influences your intimate relationships can help you make sense of your own behavior and how you perceive and respond to other people. So let's start with, what are attachment styles? So when we were young, we developed templates for how the world works and how we fit into it. Those were based on our early relationships with our caregivers. If we had caregivers that were emotionally supportive, comforting, and available to our needs during times of stress and important developmental changes, then we developed a secure attachment style. As a result of this support, people with secure attachment were taught that they were adequate and valuable. In comparison, if we grew up with caregivers who were inconsistent or rejecting of our needs, we may have started to see ourselves as inadequate and unlovable. Consequently, we may have developed one of the three insecure attachment styles: anxious, avoidant, or disorganized. The attachment styles that we develop are critical to successfully managing developmental life changes. Those include adjusting to physical changes during adolescence, forming a strong sense of our independent identity, and setting life goals. There are four main attachment styles that go beyond categorizing attachment as secure or insecure. So there are three subsets of insecure attachment, which gives us the four main attachment styles. So there's secure attachment, anxious or ambivalent attachment, avoidant dismissive attachment, and disorganized attachment. So I'm going to break down the characteristics of each so that you can see what you resonate with as you listen to the breakdown of each style. Starting with the secure attachment style. If you have a secure attachment style, your caregivers were responsive and attuned to your needs as a child. You're more likely to feel secure enough to take responsibility for your own mistakes and failings and are willing to seek help and support when you need it. You appreciate your own self-worth, and you're able to be yourself in intimate relationships. You're comfortable expressing your feelings, hopes, and needs. You find satisfaction in being with others. Openly seek support and comfort from your relationships, and don't get overly anxious when there's space or a separation. You're able to maintain your emotional balance and seek healthy ways to manage conflict. And when faced with disappointment, setbacks, and misfortune, you're resilient enough to bounce back. Now, moving on to the anxious or ambivalent attachment style. People with an anxious or ambivalent attachment style, also referred to as anxious preoccupied, ambivalent anxious, or simply anxious ambivalent, tend to be overly needy. If you're someone with anxious attachment, it is highly likely that your caregivers were inconsistent, unpredictable with affection, sometimes overly involved, and intermittently withdrawn. It's the unpredictable fluctuation between caregivers being emotionally available and then distant that leads children to be anxious about all of their future relationships. People with this attachment style are often anxious and uncertain, lacking in self-esteem. They crave emotional intimacy, but worry that others don't want to be with them. If you have an anxious or ambivalent attachment style, you may be embarrassed about being too clingy or your constant need for love and attention. You want to be in relationships and crave feelings of closeness and intimacy with friends or significant others, but you struggle to feel that you can trust or fully rely on someone. Being in an intimate relationship tends to take over your life, and you become overly fixated on the other person. You may find it difficult to observe boundaries, viewing space between you as a threat, something that can provoke panic, anger, or fear that your friend or your partner doesn't want to have you around anymore. A lot of your sense of worth rests on how you feel you're being treated, and you tend to overreact to any perceived threats to your relationships. You may feel anxious or jealous when away from your partner and may use guilt, controlling behaviors, or other manipulative tactics to keep them close. You may also need constant reassurance and lots of attention from the people closest to you. And others may criticize you for being too needy or clingy, and you may struggle to maintain close relationships. The next style is the avoidant dismissive attachment style. People with an avoidant, dismissive, insecure attachment style are the opposite of those who are ambivalent or anxious preoccupied. Instead of craving intimacy, they're so wary of closeness, they try to avoid emotional connection with others. They'd rather not rely on others or have others relying on them. If you identify as avoidant attachment, your caregivers were very likely not responsive and consistently emotionally disconnected from you, resulting in you believing as a child that your needs were not going to get met. So if you're someone with an avoidant dismissive attachment style, you may tend to find it difficult to tolerate emotional intimacy with people. You value your independence and freedom to the point where you can feel uncomfortable with, even stifled by, intimacy and closeness in relationships. You're a very independent person, you're great with taking care of yourself, and don't feel like you need others. The more someone tries to get close to you, the more you tend to withdraw. You're uncomfortable with your emotions and are often accused of being distant and closed off, rigid, and intolerant. You're likely prone to minimizing or disregarding other people's feelings or being secretive or emotionally distant from people close to you. And finally, there's the disorganized attachment style, also referred to as fearful avoidant attachment. This attachment style stems from intense fear, often as a result of childhood trauma, neglect, or abuse. People with this style of insecure attachment tend to feel that they don't deserve or are unworthy of love and may have a deep fear of getting hurt by the people that they love. If your attachment style is fearful avoidant, you likely grew up in an environment that influenced a disorganized attachment with a caregiver who may have been frightening or traumatizing, leading you to experience a deep sense of fear and a lack of trust in others despite wanting close connections. Your caregivers may have been neglectful or even abusive, so that as a child, you developed a poor understanding of boundaries and possibly even grew up confused about what a healthy relationship actually looks like because you'd never witnessed one. If you have a disorganized attachment style, you likely never learned to self-soothe your emotions, so both relationships and the world around you can feel frightening and unsafe. You probably find intimate relationships confusing and unsettling, often swinging between emotional extremes of love and hate. You may be insensitive towards people around you, or selfish, controlling, or untrusting. And you can be just as hard on yourself as you are on others. You may also be someone who refuses to take responsibility for your actions. There are some attachment style quizzes that you can take for free online to learn more about what your attachment style is. And what you'll notice, if you haven't already, is that the more you start to understand this part of your personality, the more your self-awareness deepens, the more your patterns and limiting beliefs start to make sense, and the more you can pinpoint what you want to focus on in your personal development journey with your coaches, healers, or therapists. The more I started to dig into attachment styles, I started learning the correlation between attachment styles, food freedom, and weight loss. Studies have found that those of us with insecure attachment styles are more likely to have disordered eating or a disordered relationship with food. There are four reasons that I found to be quite accurate, not only in my personal experience, but also a lot of the experiences that my clients have had. One reason is emotional dysregulation. People with insecure attachment styles tend to have difficulties regulating their negative emotions. For this reason, they can be more prone to use unhealthy coping strategies to manage their feelings. For instance, someone high in attachment avoidance tends to push down their emotions. And in contrast, people high in attachment anxiety tend to heighten their emotions. Some of this might look like chronically dieting to achieve the perfect body, or binge eating to distract yourself, or spending hours at the gym trying to work off the calories you ate as a form of punishment. Another reason this can be important on a weight loss journey is the tendency for insecure attachers to have inaccurate self-beliefs that may cause us to compare ourselves in ways that can really impact our self-image. These inaccurate self-beliefs can exacerbate negative body image, over-exercising, and preoccupation with food. Insecure attachers may also be particularly prone to perfectionism. Some may develop certain aesthetic standards, such as striving to look a very specific way or hoping to get external validation or approval for achieving a perfect standard in their mind. The perfectionism associated with insecure attachment also causes people to become overly self-critical. Therefore, unhealthy eating patterns may come up for you if you feel frustrated or disappointed for not reaching your goals fast enough. This is very common for comfort eaters and stress eaters. Perfectionism also lends itself to all or nothing, black or white thinking. And we can't ever forget about mindfulness. And in this case, oftentimes it's lack of mindfulness for people with insecure attachment styles. Studies have shown that those of us with insecure attachment styles may be less aware and accepting of the present moment. Insecure attachers may spend a lot of time worrying, ruminating, and being in denial, which in turn takes us out of the present moment. This difficulty in being mindful and in staying in the moment strongly affects some people's ability to recognize their hunger and fullness and the ability to accept their current weight or body shape. So let's say you've identified your attachment style and you're thinking, okay, now what do I do with this? I want to remind you that knowledge is so powerful. The more you know about yourself, your personality, your attachment style, the easier it will be for you to heal the core wounds and the subconscious beliefs that live underneath the patterns that hold you back from being your best. And no matter which attachment style you identify with now, there are definitely ways that you can become secure. This was actually the catalyst for me to get certified in somatic healing and neuro-linguistic programming. I had had enough. I was at my wit's end with having one too many negative experiences with therapists, and I didn't want to keep rehashing my past. So I started looking into how to reprogram my subconscious. And that's where I found neuro-linguistic programming, hypnotherapy, and somatic healing. I'll be sure to explain each of those modalities, how they work, and why in a future episode. Next, I started working on my boundaries. This is actually something that I worked on with my coach and was able to get a very solid understanding of what my boundaries are and how to protect them, because I learned that one of my trauma responses was to sort of shapeshift with people, and that was only creating chaos in my life. Doing boundary work also helped me see that this former friend of mine that I mentioned earlier in the episode was not someone that was bringing anything positive into my life. And our long history didn't mean that she needed to remain in it. And I don't have any regrets at all. I usually don't when I cut people out of my life. And the other thing I started working on with this new knowledge was observing it in other people, which helped me to relate and connect to them in deeper ways. This came in especially handy when I was dating. Knowing my attachment style helped me understand that I would need to seek out a partner with a secure attachment style. And that requirement eliminated a good number of men, because I don't have the time or the energy at this point in my life to fix a man, heal a man, or be in a chaotic or unstable relationship. I may have had time to do that 15, 20 years ago, but grown-ass Eva ain't got time for that shit. Same for platonic friendships. Where I am specifically in my journey right now, I don't have the capacity or the bandwidth for unstable friendships. And one maybe silly example of this is something that I mentioned in my last episode. Because of my trauma and my attachment style, if I text you and I don't hear back from you in what I consider to be a timely manner, I don't mean like right away, but like, I don't know, within the day, my first thought is never, oh, they must be busy. My first thought is undoubtedly, they must have died. Now, I share this with everybody in my life so that we're crystal clear. And if you're in my life, you're free to do whatever the fuck you want with that information. But understand that if you are the type of person that takes 2 to 4 weeks to respond to a text, we can't be friends. We can be cool, but I can't be vulnerable or have any type of intimacy with someone who's inconsistent. And maybe I'm weird. That's fine. Maybe I'm missing out on a lot of potential relationships and friendships. Okay, that's fine too. But I understand how my brain works. And when you become the expert of yourself, the expert of your mind, the expert of your body, you open yourself up to so much clarity and growth and self-awareness, because then you're no longer making it mean something's wrong with you. You're no longer confused about why you do this or why you think that. And you're now in a position of power, because you can decide what you want to work on and what you want to keep instead of spinning out in confusion. So if this episode resonated with you, I invite you to book a call for my one-on-one coaching so that you can let go of the thoughts, patterns, beliefs, identities that are no longer serving you anymore. And we'll do that by using somatic healing, neuro-linguistic programming, hypnotherapy, EFT. There are so many tools that we can use to address all of this. Because I say this to each and every one of my clients, and I know it to be true with all my heart. Once you drop the emotional and the mental weight, your physical weight will drop effortlessly. That's all for today. Bye for now. Thanks so much for tuning into today's episode. To learn more about how to work with me, go to eva.fit and click on the Work With Me button. While you're there, be sure to check out my free weight loss resources so that you can get a jump start on your journey. I'll see you there.